Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how familiar are you with your spleen chakra? Is that a friend of yours? Or not? I guess it depends on how strong it is or not. And I'm going to be talking about that in the show because it's the home of our fears. Our greatest fears for survival. This is where we struggle with our survival abilities or lack of abilities. And I'm talking about using the human design system to see how we're each designed in our spleen chakras. Because most people don't know about this chakra, and yet it's the home of our fears, and how it's designed for each of us is different. And so I'm going to look at these differences and try to explain what might be running you or me or anybody in our fears or about our fears. So the spleen chakra in human design is either defined or undefined, as all the other chakras are. And when it's defined, it means that you have a bit of a handle. You're willing to take risks. You're willing to live with your fears and even perhaps ignore them. But if it's undefined, you're certainly not going to ignore them. Undefined spleens, and that's really about 47% of the population have undefined spleens, and the rest have defined. So if you're undefined, it means you don't have the definition to understand your fears in a way that satisfies you. It's a learning process. All the undefined chakras in human design are where most of our schooling happens, because we're always striving to define them. And so if your spleen is undefined, you're always striving to handle your fears better. How are you comfortable with yourself at the fear level? And how do you behave in life with those particular fears? And if we're defined, we possibly can be very strong risk takers. And there are all gradations in between. So I don't want you to feel like if you have an undefined spleen, you're in real trouble. Perhaps not at all. It's just, it might make you very, very smart compared to people who have defined spleens, who might not realize they're in trouble until they are. So it works both ways. People with defined spleens are happier in each moment of not being so frightened. They feel like they have tools, they can manage. And yet the spleen chakra in human design is not one of the motor chakras. It's an awareness chakra. So whereas the other places of fear, for instance, your emotions, is a motor. And that actually can override your fears by dealing with your emotions. But I should say the spleen chakra is kind of wide open. It doesn't have a motor to support it or you with it. So you have to really pay attention to yourself and life to win. And I've seen this active in many, many people, both defined and undefined, and how they handle life. And when it's undefined, very likely you're dependent on people who have defined chakras, because they can offer you their comfort and lack of fear to be with them, and carries over It's contagious. So people who are undefined really like to be around people who have defined spleens. And of course, unconsciously, you know that. You are aware of who you feel safer with. And so, and people with defined spleens aren't necessarily looking for people with undefined spleens because they don't want to question, because they feel confident in their ability to carry risks in life. And again, there are gradations. So some people are extremely risk averse, and some people are, do crazy X Games and all these crazy things, climb cliffs and things that you wonder, how can they do that? Aren't they afraid? And they don't have the fears that other people have. And we can't understand that because we see it through our own eyes. So it's really interesting to have this tool of the spleen chakra in human design to understand yourself and others better. Because people with undefined spleens might appear smarter in handling life because of their words. They do their homework. And people with defined spleens might take things for granted too much. And so, who's more likely to get into trouble? Well, I guess it depends on how good you are at your chakra. So I wanted to talk about the different gates, because there are like portals in the spleen chakra in human design that represent different ways that we manage fear. And I'll go over them. They have numbers because they're numbered according to which hexagram of the Chinese I Ching they are. Of course, you know all about that. Well, so I'll help you. And so let's start off with the 18th gate, which is, if you saw the chart, it's at the bottom of the spleen chakra. And it's known as the gate of the need to correct and challenge. I have that in my design. And I am, my spleen is defined, and it does help me, but it doesn't make me fear-free. And I have taken many, many risks in life that I wonder, why am I doing this? And I guess there's some internal thing in me that believes that I can survive. And so the 18th gate is identifying things that are wrong and need to be corrected and challenged. And I find myself doing that in times, in places where it's like, wait a minute, why am I bothering people, complaining about things that I see are wrong? Because it's the need to correct and challenge. When you have that, and it's really on the collective circuitry in human design. So it means that you're doing it for the good of the collective, not just for yourself. So when I need to correct and challenge, it's like if I go to the gym and I see something is broken, I'll go to the desk and say, this is broken. They say, well, how come nobody else is asking about it? Well, they don't have the 18th gate. So I'm doing it for not just for myself, but I'm doing it for the collective. So it's a powerful gate to have, and many of you have it and wonder why you're so good at spotting leaky faucets when nobody else has seen them. Because your awareness for your survival is so great. And if you have this gate, that's where your survival interests go. And there are six lines to every hexagram. And so there are six different ways of applying the need to correct and challenge. And And there, and each of the lines have different progressions in terms of our development in life. And so when we get to the sixth line, the top line in the 18th gate is known as the line of Buddhahood. And it, all it means really is that you have the opportunity to live in Buddhahood because you're willing to correct things. You're willing to live in correctness in your life. And Buddha, that's what he spoke about, is living correctly. You get to go to Nirvana. But in this case, at least you get to survive. So the 18th gate is something that some of you know you have, and others know others, or others know you have. And they say, leave us alone. So it's an exciting gate. Well, I think all of them are. So the next gate up is the 28th gate. And that's the gate of the fear. It's really a fear of death for not having purpose. You have to have, if you don't have a purpose, you could just fall off the earth. So the 28th gate, because it has purpose, is willing to sacrifice for the purpose. It's really willing to step into life to undergo struggle when there's a purpose. So a lot of people that you see out there who are willing to live in the unknown, in risk, in high risk, are willing to do so because of purpose. And so like the sixth line of the 28th is the willingness to sacrifice. But if you have a second line in the 28th, is you're willing to shake hands with the devil. That's how strong your purpose goes. Whatever it takes to make this successful, to stay on purpose, I'll deal with it. You know, it's the struggle, but I'll overcome the struggle, even though there's no motor there. It's only an awareness that, you know, maybe there are other parts of your human design that you feel can come to your rescue. So let's come to the 32nd gate. And the 32nd gate is the fear of failure. And I have that. Oh, lucky me. And a lot of you have it. Oh, lucky you. But it's actually a good thing to fear failure, because you'll do the work necessary not to fail. And you know, if you have a very defined spleen chakra and you're willing to take risks, you might not consider failure, in which case you might fail. So those of us who have it, we're really careful to find answers to avoid failure. And if you're a sixth line, that's the top line. The top line in all of these is really the line of that you've evolved to through all the other lines. And it's the sixth line in the 32nd hexagram of fear of failure is tranquility. So it means that you actually feel that you can win. I have a fourth line, which is right as might. And it's that it's maintaining my principles. And I'm willing to struggle for my principles and feel that they are mighty. And so that's not easy, but I've seen in my life many times where I don't bend to other people's dismay who want me to compromise. And I haven't been able to do that. And so maybe you're like that too. And if not, well, at least understand that some people have no choice. They have to stick to it. So let's look at the 50th gate. And the 50th gate is the gate of values, principles. And so remember, this is all about survival. And so if you have the 50th gate, principles are very important to you, values. And if you see lack of integrity around you, you'll feel like we're all gonna die. So that's why there's a lot of people out there who worry about integrity to the point of survival. And I don't blame them. I don't have that gate, but I certainly have principles. And so this is very important for people too, who have this gate, to know what the rules are, or to write new rules, you know, to understand that we have to pursue values. And if you're a sixth line, it's leadership. You get to the point of becoming a leader to maintain principles, maintain value, maintain integrity. And if you're a second line, there's actually determination, you know. So if you're determined, certainly that can lead to leadership. So that's a very interesting gate. And now I'm going to talk about the 44th gate, which is fear of the past. And because it's fear of the past, it's alertness to all the patterns going on around you, so you don't have to repeat past problems. And so it's a powerful alertness gate. People have that, are very aware of the people around them and how the people around them are behaving. And so they're very careful. And it's amazing how smart they are about the patterns of others. I wish I had that. Because many times in my life, I've been very disappointed in people that I haven't been alert to, and it could have, would have, should have, but it's not my job. Let's say it might be my karma to not be aware of trouble in others that could be dangerous. But people who have this are very smart at people around them and about people around them and what they're capable of, for the good or the bad. And it leads to the sixth line, leads to aloofness. So that means that when you're that alert to the patterns of others and you see something that you don't like, you can become aloof to it. You know how to separate yourself from trouble. So that's very wise, very advanced. Good for you. Now I'm going to talk about the 57th gate. And I have that. And that's fear of the future. So what do we think we can do if we're afraid of the future is to develop our intuition. So it's also known as the gate of intuition. And it's very powerful. And those who have it, because of fear of the future, actually have the clarity to see deep into things, to avoid the future trouble. Because we can't predict the future, but we can sense future and prepare for it. And so it's a very very strong gate, the third line of the 57th is acute intuition, and I have that gate, and that's what it's my claim to fame in life, is that I'm intuitive. And then but it's all about clarity. It's about intuitive clarity. It's like you get together with a whole bunch of people and they're talking and talking and talking and not getting to the point. And you've already figured out the point long before they do, intuitively. And that's the clarity it provides. So anytime I see people at the 57th gate, I'm always impressed that they have this ability to dive into the clarity of things intuitively that is special. And now I want to get to the 48th gate. And that's called the well. And it's the fear of inadequacy because you don't have enough information. You don't have answers and solutions that you need, feel you need for your survival. Remember, this is all about feeling like you're going to make it. And what are you missing? And if we look back on each of these gates, these are things we're afraid of not having the ability to find out what's wrong, being willing to sacrifice for it, so it's so much about our fears that need answers. And the 48th gate being the well is where we go in deep into the well. It's known as the gate of depth. It's going deep in to find answers that aren't on the surface. And so people who have the 48th gate are people who are seeking answers. For instance, let's say you have the 18th gate and not the 48th. So the 18th sees the trouble, but doesn't look for answers. It just wants to let everybody know there's trouble. Hey, the sky's falling, the sky's falling. Well, what are we gonna do about it? Well, the 48th gate might want to understand the science of falling skies and understand what the solutions can be because we understand it better. And so if you're a sixth gate in the 48th hexagram, sixth line in the 48th gate, you become an undiminishable resource. So, you are really an answer person. And if you have the fifth gate, it's because you have the answers, you want to take action. So it's amazing how all of these gates really determine how we deal with our fears and the unknown. And because it's an awareness center, it has to do with your awareness. And even though it might be taking action, it doesn't mean you have a motor to take action. It means you have the desire to take action. And so all of these, even leadership, determination, writer's might, shaking hands with the devil, it's all awareness stuff that you're willing to participate through the awareness, using the other motors of human design, but not directly related to your fears, indirectly certainly. So, because they might get your emotions going and your emotions have a motor. And very likely they do. But let's say you have an undefined emotional chakra. So your motor might not be reliable. So there's so much in human design that we need to know about ourselves. And that's why I recommend to people have their human design charts read or learn about it in any other way to find out. And I can certainly offer you a free chart to look at, although you'll see the chakras and the gates and all, but it won't. It's not a chart reading, but it's something to look at and understand how you might be different from others. Certainly, after hearing the show, you'll see from your own chart what it says about you. So people who have undefined chakras, spleen chakras, can't trust their spontaneity because it's not based on definition. It's So they have to stop and think and ask questions and maybe condition themselves with people who are defined, who might have those answers better. But then again, because of that ability to stop and think and take measure, you might be so much the wiser than people who feel like they have the answer, and it might not be complete enough. And so they don't have the fear, because I know people who have very defined spleen chakras who get into trouble a lot because they don't realize that their trouble is coming. So hopefully I've been giving you enough clues about how the spleen works and how these particular traits work, that you can understand yourself by just self-examination. Say, oh yeah, these things are true for me or not, and certainly about others. And this also helps us understand why we're all so different from each other, because we all have very different centers and definitions and lack of definitions and gates and lines of each gate that make us all so different. So the more you know yourself, or even learn about others this way too, understand their charts, the more you can understand why people behave the way they do, and be much more compassionate. So I'm always happy to help. Peter@heartriver.org, HEARTRIVER.ORG is my email address. So you can email me for a copy and printout of your, or an email of your chart. And, or if you want to learn more about your human design, I'm very happy to help. So thank you for allowing me to riff on all this time. And I appreciate you listening to the show. All the best.